Welcome to the C3 Calgary podcast. We are so grateful you have come to join us. We would love to invite you to one of our in-person services. To find out times, locations, and more about our church, visit our website at myc3church.ca or find us on Instagram. Enjoy the message.
Thanks, Pastor Joe. I was thinking about it as I was sitting there, and I had said to Pastor Lauren when he was asking me if I'd speak, I'm like, yeah, I'd love to, but I don't even feel like I know anyone at C3 West anymore. And because I was here from 2015 until about the end of 21 pretty regularly. But I'm telling you, I feel like I know everybody. Like, it's the same space and it's the same feeling and it's that same amazing vibe that if you're part of this church and part of this community, you know what I'm talking about. So I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here. I know Pastor Steve and Britt send their love. We wish that we could all be in two places at once, right? But things are going great down in Central, and I love being a part of that team as much as I wish that I could be in two places, and I loved serving here. Central is where the Lord has me, so we're having fun. So as Pastor Joe said, we are in March, which is Easter month, which is weird. It's so early this year, but it's exciting. The sooner Easter rolls around, the better, in my opinion, because it's the best time of year as Christians. And so as we approach that glorious Sunday, we are in a series called The Life of Jesus. What do you talk on when the series is The Life of Jesus? Because we could talk about anything, and we could talk about it forever. I won't talk forever this morning. But I just found it was really interesting in my prayer time, and as I was asking God, you know, to put on my heart what he wanted to say, I was like, what do I say about the life of Jesus? And I'm not particularly great at titling a sermon, but if I had to, I'd probably call this one The Life of Jesus, He Stayed in Lonely Places. And I feel like God just, he's talking to Christians this morning, as well as those of you in this house that might not know him. Sometimes when we start serving the Lord and we've walked with him for a very, very long time, it can be frustrating when we go through lonely periods or we go through a wilderness or we go through a season where we're just actually wondering where God is. And I just want to encourage us and remind us for the short time that I have this morning that Jesus stayed in lonely places. And there is no one better to relate to us and to the condition of being a human than Jesus. So we'll look at a few scriptures. One of the ones that jumped out to me that we'll work through this morning is in Mark chapter 1. It's verses 40 to 45. This is in the NIV. And it says, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. So I just want to pray before we go into the word. And I felt very strongly this morning. Actually, Brett Pond had said something in pre-service prayer that God believes that we are worthy. And I just want to remind everyone in here this morning, myself included, we are all worthy to be here, and we are all worthy of the word that God wants to send out this morning. And if for any moment something comes into your head to try to tell you, that's a nice word, and it's true, but it's not really for me, that is the devil, it is the lie, and it's not true. So I believe that the Lord will speak through me, and anything that's not of God, we can leave by the side, but when the word of God comes, we are worthy to receive it. We are all worthy to receive it. So God, we just thank you so much for your presence in this place. We thank you that you're here and that you're speaking. I thank you that you speak through all of us, God. Not just the person who has the mic, but you speak through all of us. And I believe that you have a word for everyone here this morning. So we thank you for being with us. And I pray too that we would just still have that spirit of joy and peace as we leave this morning, even if we're talking about a heavier topic, because your joy and your peace is with us always. Thank you for this time this morning, God, and we pray in your name. Amen. So I moved to Australia a few years ago, and some of you that have known me for a while would know that. Those of you that don't know me, it was an opportunity that I received through the church. But it was kind of a difficult decision at first to make. I was working for a company that I just absolutely loved. I had the best job I've ever had in my life. I've been very blessed to have work that I've always been quite passionate about. And this was a job that I entered in my early 20s and was just a very formative job. You know, it's where I learned so much professionally, but also about myself personally. And so at first I was kind of like, oh, like, do I really just quit this job and move away for a short period of time? But, you know, you listen to God and you're obedient. And by the time I realized I was going to do it, I felt very good about the situation. I was very excited to go. It wasn't a, oh God, I'm doing this for you, but I kind of don't want to. It was amazing. And so I moved to Australia, and some of you are going to be like, okay, duh. I landed and I was like, so lonely. Of course, like, that's kind of an obvious statement. I moved to the other side of the world on a continent where I didn't know a single human being. And at first, though, I thought, oh, God, like, this is just because I've moved, and once I settle in, it will be all good. And it actually wasn't. The end story, which I'm not going to get into today, like, is good. And I have nothing but amazing memories of my time there. But I struggled because I felt like I was in one of the loneliest, like, wilderness sort of desolate seasons that I had been in a really long time. And I was like, God, that doesn't make any sense. I'm in your will. You asked me to do this. You actually directed me to go here. So that doesn't make sense. And then has anybody gone through something like that? You're in the will of God for your life and you know it without a shadow of a doubt. Like, it's, you didn't get it wrong. But you're like, this doesn't feel right. And then, of course, the questions start coming, right? Because now you're wondering if you, well, did I get it right? And so as I worked through that, actually years later too, because of course in the moment, sometimes you're not always like with it and you're not always talking to God the way you should be, but then you go back and look at seasons of your life. One of the scriptures that really, really stood out to me was the one that we just read, and then particularly just that one verse in Mark 1:45 where it says, as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came. Other translations use the word desolate or wilderness. That word lonely, especially here, it means unfrequented and remote, a place deserted of people and in a state of bleak and dismal emptiness, an inhospitable region. Jesus stayed in lonely places. It's just brought me so much comfort when I think about the fact that Jesus has been where I've been. And it's just jumped up to me, you know. I want to look at Jesus in lonely places, the life of Jesus. From the very start, I think, and this is not detailed in the Bible, so it's extra words from me, but it's just thoughts. So I'm not saying it's how it happened, but you read the word and you start questioning things. Jesus was born of a virgin through the Holy Spirit. And it's very easy for me to remove myself from the time and the place and the context that Jesus was in and just think like, well, that's the story and we know it. And it doesn't really say anything about what that would have been like for him. So you don't think about it. But can I tell you, can you imagine being the child of a woman born of a virgin? Everybody knows it, but doesn't mean everybody believed it. He knew it. Mary knew it. Joseph knew it. The people that believed, but there's no way that everyone just looked at Jesus and was like, oh yeah, okay, you're born of God. So from the very start of Jesus' life, he was in, could be in a lonely place. He stayed behind in the temple in the story of the family going into Jerusalem, and they go to celebrate Passover. And Jesus stays behind to listen to the teachings in the temple. And of course, his parents don't realize that he is there and they leave. And so he's missing, right? They are traveling. They're like, oh my gosh, they go back. And I love this. Scripture says that the people around him were amazed at his understanding and the questions that he asked. Yet his parents said to him, "Why have you treated us so? We have been looking for you and in distress." And I wonder if Jesus ever felt quite misunderstood growing up. He answered his parents in the scripture and he said, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Have you ever felt like that? Like you just feel misunderstood? Sometimes we just feel alone in what we're doing for the kingdom. You know, we have very unique callings and sometimes we're the only one that God called to do something. Sometimes our giftings make us feel alone because we're all really unique and God doesn't always allow us to understand one another. Sometimes the season that we find ourselves in makes us feel like we are so alone and we are just in the wilderness. You know, maybe you've recently been married, a new marriage, and suddenly friendships change, routines change. The way you have to now relate to someone that, you know, you didn't live with before, and now you're living together, and you're getting in on each other's space, and you feel alone, I'm assuming. Not married. But I have a lot of married friends who say great things about it. But the beginning, I'm sure, could be hard. You know? Maybe you're a new parent. Maybe you're welcoming your first child to your home, your second, your third. And you are just like, "God, actually, I'm living an answered prayer right now. I asked you for this." Same thing with a relationship, whatever it may be. Sometimes we are living in what we have asked God for so desperately, and it doesn't feel the way we thought it was supposed to make us feel. It's a lonely place. We are not alone. You know, and that's the beauty of it. I mean, we're going to get there, but that's just the beauty of following Jesus. We're not alone. It's often quite difficult for me. I don't know if anyone else has this problem, but it's hard for me to remember how truly Jesus was human. Because he was human and he was God, and it's a mystery and it's amazing, and I'm not going there. Don't ask me to, but he was a human just like you and me. We know him. We know him as God, which in itself is a miracle and amazing that we know God. But Jesus was a human. He was made flesh. He was sinless, but he experienced humanity the exact same way that we did. And it's just when I slow down enough to understand this and that he put on humanity, I don't really have the appropriate words to articulate what that would have really been like, because then you look at what he went through as a human, not as God, and it's amazing. You could sit in that for forever. At the very beginning of Mark chapter 1, Jesus was baptized by his cousin John the Baptist, and he was immediately sent out into the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil. Does this mean that when we're in God's will, like the devil is going to tempt us every time? Not necessarily. We've recently spoken about this, like not everything, you know, is necessarily like an attack. Life, we just live in a fallen world. But does it mean that we could be in the will of God and still feel like we're alone and still feel misunderstood and still feel like we're off in this weird, desolate place? Yeah, I think so. I see Jesus experienced that. I see he went through that. So I suppose I could too. I think everywhere that Jesus went, he had the opportunity to be misunderstood. Even his closest friends and family didn't understand him. They didn't always know what he was doing. I look at the Garden of Gethsemane when he went, you know, just a short time before he went to the cross for us. He was approaching what would have been the most excruciating time of his life. You know, he was going to be tortured and hung on a cross for us. And he knew that, and he knew what he was doing, and he wanted to do that for you and I, but again, as a human, he's just crying out to God. He knows it's coming, and he's experiencing that just alone season. They went to the garden, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh my gosh, talk about like a lonely place. Imagine being in such a painful moment in your life. And for some of us in this house, I don't have to actually ask you to imagine. You can remember. Just being in a season, in a place where you were so alone. You felt alone. And I'm here to remind us that in that moment, while we felt alone, we never were. God himself, Jesus, was with you in that moment. He was with me in my moments. He's been there himself. He's truly, genuinely been there himself in flesh. And he is always ready, willing, and able to be there again and again and again and again with us. Oh, he's so good. Isaiah 53:3 says he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And we esteemed him not. I know that I'm saying a lot of the same thing in a sense, but I think truth just really deserves to be repeated. And the simple truth, God's put that on my heart a lot lately, is just getting back to the simple things of God, you know? And the truth is, there's nothing that we can go through, nothing that we can go through in this life that Jesus can't meet us at, that Jesus hasn't gone through, that he doesn't relate to, and he doesn't desire to move us from. He's so good. Good's not the right word. You know, there's no words to describe how faithful, how kind, how beautiful, how amazing, how victorious, how generous, how strong, how powerful, how victorious he is. And these are the things that we have to keep our eyes on, right? Even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of pain, even when you feel like you are completely alone and you don't have anyone to be with you. So the thing that I'm excited about every time I get to speak, it's such a privilege, and it's the good news. We heard all about, you know, the hard stuff and where God can relate to us. But the good news is I said he stayed in lonely places, but like that's kind of in the past. He's not staying in lonely places. We're always moving forward when we're with Jesus. I highlighted Mark 1:45 first and foremost to remind us that Jesus has been there. He has been alone. He's been misunderstood. He has, you know, been confronted by crowds. He has gone through things we've never been through, you know. But he's faithful. He's in the midst of those places. The beautiful thing about meeting God in very lonely places is how much closer we can grow to him. If we're honest, and please hear me when I say this, God desires for us to be doing well. He wants us to be in seasons of abundance and peace and joy. He doesn't want us to feel like we are constantly in the desert. But I will say, how many people know that when all the bills are paid, when all the relationships are perfect, when everything is thriving, when the sun's shining, when we don't have 20 centimeters of snow outside, it's really easy to praise God. It's really easy to praise him. And I'll also say, praise God. In all seasons, praise God. And we should praise him in the highs and in the lows. So there's never a time in which I would tell you not to be so thankful for all the little great things that God gives us every day. But we have an opportunity when we are in a lonely place, when we are in a desolate place, when we are in a wilderness, to know God in a brand new way. One of the names of God that I learned when I was in Sydney and after I came home from Sydney, because see, the thing is, I'd made this big change and then I came home thinking like everything in my life was going to go back to normal. I'm going to have this like great job that I love again, and then I'm going to be doing this and doing that. And it just doesn't work that way, does it? Come on, God, I gave you a year of my life. What are you doing? It doesn't work that way. But it was so cool because as I decided, hey, God, I really want to understand what you did in that season. I want to understand why I felt lonely even though I had friends. I want to understand what you were doing in my life there. As I drew near to him, I learned a new name of God, and it's Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there or the Lord is present. It is the name of God that conveys to us the nearness of our Lord. No matter where we are, he will always be with us. It encourages us to seek him in all times. In all times. When we come to know God as the one who is there, the one who is present, things begin to change. A storm's going to come up in our life. You know, an unexpected health diagnosis, a bill that we weren't seeing, a severed relationship, or even a positive thing where God's moved us somewhere, but then now we're feeling kind of like I was talking about, just like unsure. But when we know God as Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is near, the Lord who is present, our mind speaks to that situation, our spirit speaks to that situation in a brand new way. Because we can say, oh, okay, God, that bill is there, but you're here. He's not there, he's here. So he's like, yeah, I know, I see it. And suddenly, it's like, it just takes all of the pressure off, right? The Lord is here, the Lord is with me right now. He's with you, he's with us. The Lord is near, near, like so close. How can I call myself alone if I know that the Lord is near? You might be something like me though, and you're kind of like, well, that's nice, but is there a practical application to that? Because, you know, I'm a very, like, I'm going to ask you why and how 17 times. Pastor Joanne's starting to see that, she mentioned. Why? Why do we do that? How? But God wants us to have practical tools to equip us to walk through this stuff too, you know, because we're humans and we live in a practical world. Yeah, God's so good. He's so good. And I said this once already, but before I move into sort of the practical, I do just want to encourage us and highlight how much I think God wants us to really get good at the simple things in life. You know, just to, we don't have to overcomplicate our walk with the Lord. Like, he's happy to make it pretty simple for us, you know? And so take from this what works for you, you know, but just fix our eyes on Jesus and ask him to keep telling us, you know, telling you what works to draw near to him, because it's different for all of us, right? We're all unique. We're wired very differently, which is the beauty. The number one thing though, for me, when it came to knowing God as a present God, as a God who cares, as a God who loves me, of course, is to praise him. And I'm telling you, there are times, I know all of us have gone through this, where you're just like, no, I can't. Like, I physically can't. You know, I don't know how to say that God's good in my circumstance right now. I don't know how to get my spirit to rise up and just declare that he is good. And fortunately, we have tools that can help us to do that. And we have the Word of God right here. We have worship. We're living in 2024 where we have this like beautiful ability to kind of just turn on what we need. And yeah, sometimes that can cloud things up a little bit. It can get too much. But when we're in a place where we don't know how to praise the Lord, I've gone through it, definitely. I'm just like, okay, God, I'm going to read my Bible. And if it doesn't make me feel a certain way, I'm believing that you are still in the midst of it, that you are power. This is you. And so my feelings make no difference to what's going on. And it's kind of like when we work out, right? You like flex that muscle, you keep doing it. You do not see things change the first time you work out. Wouldn't that be nice? I'm looking at some of these guys and gals in the front that I'm like, well, they've done it a lot, you know? And it's discipline and it's work, right? But it's true, right? And you don't feel like doing it all the time. But you pick up the tools that God gave you. You pick up, like, this is a weight, you guys. We're so blessed to have this. And just like read it. If it's one thing, you know, I love the Psalms. I love the Psalms for encouraging us, right? And this is a beautiful Psalm, that 34, that says, I will always praise the Lord. With all my heart, I will praise the Lord. Let all who are helpless listen and be glad. honor the Lord with me, celebrate his name. He said, let all who are helpless celebrate. He knew there's going to be seasons when we are helpless, when we are alone, when we just feel like, God, I'm dry. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to do. And he told us what the answer is. Praise the Lord. I will always praise the Lord. So start with the Psalms. Those are such great things to do. And the other thing that I love, and a lot of people know this about me, I have this really cool journal. It's digital, and I write in it every day. I've written in it every day for like 7 years. And it has one of those, you know, on this day features. You know how your social media and stuff does that? It'll pop up and say to you, on this day, this is what you did. And so I write my journal in there because then I say, on this day, I preached to C3 West. It was okay. I had a great time, you know? And I might put a photo in there and it's really cool. And then it reminds me, it's going to remind me a year later about this. And I'm going to be able to look back and go, God, oh my gosh, I remember that. You're so faithful. Listen to that word that you know, it's so cool. So we had an all-in here on Thursday night. An all-in is a great opportunity for our team, for our volunteers, for people that are serve in this house to come together, to be celebrated, to, you know, hear vision. And one thing that Pastor Joanne said, just she's going to be surprised maybe that this even stuck with me, but she said, you know, sometimes people ask why we count things, because we were sharing the amazing statistics of what have happened across C3, Calgary West, and Central, just this last year alone, about the beautiful things happening, the family ministries, the youth ministry, the money raised for the orphanage. And she was saying that sometimes people ask, you know, like, why do you count? We count because it allows us to remember. We count because when we find ourselves in these lonely places, in these seasons when we just feel like nothing good has ever happened, we look back and we count the faithfulness of God. We count his goodness. We remember his glory. We remember the things that he has done in our lives and in this community. And so it's, again, it's a practical tool, but if you don't wake up every day and kind of take some time to say 2-3 things that you are grateful for to the Lord, I just want to encourage you to make it a part of your routine. And the same thing goes with what I said previously. If you are in a situation where you're like, I just don't know how to actually write what I'm grateful for, I understand. I understand that. One of the most beautiful things about my testimony standing up here this morning, and I'm not sharing my testimony this morning, but is I am on the other side of a very different life. I'm up here because I'm on the other side of a desolate, lonely season. And I'm not talking about what happened to me in Sydney. So I understand and I empathize that sometimes, like, it's actually really, really, really hard. Thank God for the breath in your lungs. Thank him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And again, just flex that gratitude muscle every morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He will do in us what only he can do. He will transform our spirits. He will rise up in us the sight to see what it is that, you know, he is doing in our lives. So I love encouraging others to write out gratitude. It's such a great practice to have. And the last thing that I want to encourage everyone in, and this might seem, I really hope this doesn't seem like a plug to anybody, because I could talk about this for 2 hours. If you are alone, if you are in a desolate season, if you do not know where God's taking you, get all in this community. If this isn't your church home, wherever you call home, get all in with both feet. Ask the Lord where you can be used. Jump in, because it will change your life to know that you are surrounded. And I'm not just saying, it's not just about being here on a Sunday to serve coffee or host or whatever. When you jump all in both feet to the church that God has put you in, when you say yes to being a part of the kingdom of God with both feet, not one on each side of things, it's a whole new world. Now you're part of a family. And so guess what? We all go through really, really hard times in life. I would love to stand up here and say it's never going to happen again, but we know that it will. But suddenly you have a community that you can go to. Suddenly you have people that are around you. I'm telling you guys, the number of people that encouraged me over the last few days about just being here, there's nothing like it. You don't get this anywhere else. You don't get it in the world. You don't get it. It's we are so blessed. We are so privileged to be a part of what God's doing in Calgary. And so join a team here. Like, get plugged in and see what God can do. Again, I said, I could talk about this for so long because being a part of this community has changed my life. And that's like not a flippant thing to say. I'm not saying it because my pastors are sitting here. I'm saying it because it's true. And it's God's house, you know? We have amazing stewards. Our pastors are so faithful, but this is God's house, right? So like, I wanna be a part of it. It's like Gord said, I wanna be a part of what he is doing. And there's no better way to overcome a season that just feels lonely than to come and be a part of one that is just full of his kids and his kingdom work, you know? So just to wrap things up, I want to, again, encourage everybody, and I'm going to share a couple scriptures that I just think remind us of what Jesus saw ahead of him. And then we'll pray. And if you want, you know, prayer for anything that I spoke about this morning, we'll have a team hereafter to pray. But, you know, I believe that God just wants to minister to us and just remind us that we are never alone. We have Jehovah Shammah, the God who is near with us. Many people will know this scripture, okay? Hebrews 12:2-3, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had a joy set before him, and it was you and I, and we have a joy set before us. There is another side to this situation that you find yourself in right now. There is another side to that lonely season, to that wilderness season, to that transition season. Fix your eyes on Jesus. The joy is set before us. And, you know, like the word says as well, I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The time is now to see the goodness of the Lord. Keep going. Press through. Keep going. And the last thing I just wanted to say, and I just wanted to remind us of when we just feel like things are never going to change, is that scripture that we talked about at the beginning, Isaiah 53, he said he was acquainted with grief. When you are acquainted with something or someone, you know enough about it, but you're not friends. You don't really know that topic super well. If I'm acquainted with something, I can speak to it, but I don't know it closely. It's not my best, most intimate friendship or knowledge piece. We are not designed to just stay in desolation and loneliness. We can know about it, but we will always move forward from this season. And then we can go and tell others about his goodness. We can go and testify of God's beautiful saving grace. So let's stand. If you are here this morning and you just feel like you're in a season of loneliness or isolation, or a big transition has happened, and maybe it's something where God has called you and you're kind of questioning why you feel like alone in it. Or maybe you are here this morning and you just, it's nothing to do with what you think God's called you to do, but you just don't feel like you have anybody else in it with you. I just wanna pray for you, and I wanna tell you, like, it's so not true. And I'm sorry that our feelings can lie to us in that way, but God is near to you right now. He is with you. He sees you. He sees all of us, and he sees us as individuals. He knows our unique situation and circumstance that we find ourselves in, and he wants to be with us. He wants to move us through these seasons. And as he does, he wants to get to know us in a new way. So God, I just thank you for everyone in this house this morning that is here, that is under your word, that you see. And I just pray, God, for anyone who's experiencing a season of loneliness, anyone, God, who's experiencing just a feeling that they're dry, that they don't know when this season will pass or how it will pass, God, I pray that your spirit would just dwell so closely with them right now, Lord God, that they would know, that they would know, that they would know that you are with them in this moment, Jesus. And I pray that you would bring people around them to encourage them, to help them put that next step in front of the other when they really need it, Lord God. And for those of us in this house that are on the other side, God, that can much more easily declare your goodness and faithfulness and give testimony of the good things that you've done. I pray that you would help us to see those around us that need a word from you, that you would help us to see the people that need to be invited into a community, Lord God, that our eyes would be fixed on you, Jesus. And as we fix our eyes on you, we would see those around us that just need a word from you, God. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you speak. And I just pray that everyone would have a blessed week this morning. Blessed week this morning and the rest of the week. And that we would just go into this next week full of hope and full of peace that the Lord and the Lord alone brings. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, subscribe to our podcast and find us on YouTube. If this message resonated with you and you would like to give to our church, go to myc3church.ca. See you next week.